good to be with you all back here at Corpus Christi. I have a lot of deep roots coming to this parish, so it's pretty surreal to come back and celebrate Mass for you all. This is the parish that I was baptized at. It was my first parish. My parents were married here. My brother was married here. So I've always had a lot of connections to Corpus Christi. As we hear in the first reading, it's the story of how God is making these promises to Noah after the flood. He says that he wants to establish this covenant between him and humanity, that he isn't going to do this again, and he wants to start this relationship. For us, in our limited human understanding, this idea of how God, a divine being, can have this relationship with us can be kind of difficult to understand. And at times, we see how it's difficult on our part to live up to it, especially the great expectations. We notice it even more during the Lenten season when we are doing certain things, we've given up or added certain things, whether it's in prayer, fasting, or almsgiving. We've done these certain things to help improve this relationship. Maybe it's you're taking more time to pray, maybe you're giving up certain things, you're fasting in certain ways. Whatever it is, we're trying to improve this relationship that God wants to have with us. So I offer you two little pieces of consolation that may help us in this, developing this relationship and kind of strengthening this relationship which God wants to have with us. The first piece of consolation is the understanding that Jesus himself went through this, that he himself was tempted. We hear in the gospel that Jesus went out into the desert for 40 days. This prefigurement of this Lenten season, which is 40 days, that we go out into a desert, we fast, we pray in preparation for something. Jesus also did the same thing. He also was tempted. Jesus Christ was a man. He went through the common temptations which all of us experience. So as we go throughout this Lent, if there is anything within you that may be tempted to not be faithful to what we've given up, relate it to Jesus. He also went through it. If there's a time throughout your day in which you committed to praying a little bit more, and when you get to that time, you have the thought of, I don't want to pray right now, or you have the temptation to eat whatever you gave up, relate it to Jesus. He himself went through it, and he understands temptation. He was tempted, though he didn't fall into it. And just because we are tempted doesn't mean that we ourselves will fall into it as well. So let the consolation that Jesus himself went through it help us in our Lenten observance. The second thing that can bring us great consolation is the idea that Jesus didn't want to leave us alone, that he wanted to come here, he wanted to help us, and he wanted what he started to be continued on when he was no longer here. Jesus walked the earth in physical bodily form over close to 2,000 years ago. And he wanted what he started to be continued on when he wasn't there anymore. He knew that he wasn't going to be in bodily form forever. But he wanted what he started to be continued on even when he wasn't there. And the way in which we know that it's continued is in the life of the church, right? Being a part of the church helps us understand what it means to be a part of Christ's mission. We know that Jesus performed a lot of incredible miracles. He preached, he did a lot of incredible things when he was alive. And those things are still readily available to us, which is good news. For those of us who are born so many hundreds of years later, what was available to the people when Jesus was alive is also available to us. That's the good news. We know that in Jesus' life, he performed a lot of miracles. He forgave sins. So therefore, we have the sacrament of confession. We know that he healed a lot of people. So therefore, we have the sacrament of the anointing of the sick. He blessed marriages. His first miracle was to be present at the wedding of Cana. So therefore, matrimony is a sacrament. He was baptized. He commanded people to be baptized. So therefore, we have baptism. Get my point. The sacraments are concrete ways in which Jesus' actions are continued on, even though he isn't here. And during his life, he had hundreds, if not thousands, of people that followed him around. And out of those hundreds, if not thousands, he called 12 men to be particularly close to him. And it is in these 12 that he gave the power to forgive sins. He gave them the ability to go out and baptize. It was those guys who were supposed to go out and preach. They were the ones that were supposed to go out and continue this mission. The greatest sacrament, the summit and source of our faith, is the Eucharist. It resembles this sacrifice which Jesus gave that reconciled us to God. So we knew that there was this division between us and God. So therefore, God sent his Son to reconcile us back to him, which is what we're preparing for right now in Lent. And the way that that's commemorated is in the Eucharist. That's why it's so important for us to receive the Eucharist, because it's the commemoration of restoring that sacrifice. So the two pieces of consolation to help us in this temptations to grow in the relationship to God is the fact that he himself went through it, and also that he didn't leave us alone. He left us a church to help us, to give us the sacraments, to grow in this relationship. As a priest, it's been an amazing ability to be able to perform the sacraments, to have people, to help people grow in that relationship. But it isn't anything of me myself. I am as dependent on the sacraments as all of you are. I couldn't have baptized myself. I couldn't have ordained myself, couldn't confirm myself. I can't cure my own sins, I can't absolve my own sins. And at the end of my life, I won't be able to anoint myself. That I'm as dependent on priests as all of you are. And that's the way that Jesus intended it. He wanted his grace to be distributed through the priests in the sacraments for us to receive it. One of the most touching points of my priesthood so far was a couple months after I was ordained. Every Friday, I would go have Mass at one of the nursing homes. And this Friday in particular, there was an elderly priest who would always can celebrate Mass with us. He was an elderly priest from the Benedictine Abbey out in Richardton, and he was advanced in age where he was now a resident at the nursing home. And every Friday, he would can celebrate Mass with us. He was pretty blind and pretty deaf, and he was in a wheelchair, so I would wheel him in right next to the altar. He would can celebrate Mass, and at the end of Mass, I'd wheel him back to his room. And this one Friday in particular, I showed up and he wasn't there to can celebrate anymore. So I asked some of the nurses where he was, and they said that he's advanced in his health and he isn't able to can celebrate. So I went to his room to visit him, and as I walked in, I noticed that he didn't have his glasses on and he didn't have his hearing aids in, so I was gonna have to speak pretty loudly for him to hear me. So I go up to his bed and I say, "Father Raymond, this is Father Jordan, I'm here to visit you." And he kind of rolls over and he goes, "I want to go to confession and I want to receive anointing." I'm like, all right, you know, he's yelling, he was screaming because he didn't have his hearing aids in. So I was able to anoint him. I was able to give him the sacraments. Like I said, it isn't anything me personally, but the fact that it was a priest that was able to be there. And as I was anointing him, what I was thinking about was how many people he was able to anoint in his lifetime, and now he's finally able to receive it at the end of his. And I pray every day for a happy death. I pray every day that a priest will be there at my bedside to anoint me as well. The priests are just as dependent on the sacraments. We need priests so that the sacraments can be more abundant. You guys have some great priests here at your parish. You also have some young men from your parish who are studying to be seminarians. So I offer you just three quick pieces of advice to help us increase this understanding of vocations. The first is for us to pray. Most notably, as Christians, that's what all of us can do. Every single person can pray for more vocations. Not only can we do it, but Jesus commands us to do it. Jesus tells us to pray to the master of the harvest to send out laborers to the harvest. He wants us to pray to God for more priests. It's something which is very easy, which all of us can do. And we can create a culture in our diocese of prayer for more vocations that can help support those young men and women who may have the call to the priesthood or the religious life. The second thing that we can do is to not be afraid to talk about vocations. We've also created a culture in our diocese where a young man isn't weird if he has a desire to be a priest. That being a priest is a beautiful vocation. And if we're not afraid to talk about it, we're able to bring it up to someone in which we may see the possible vocation in. When I was in high school, I never thought about being a priest. Didn't even cross my mind. And it wasn't until somebody pointed it out in me that they were able to see something in me that I couldn't even see myself. They just simply said, "Have you ever thought about being a priest? You'd be a good priest." Something as simple as that. So first, to pray for vocations. The second thing is to not be afraid to talk about it. And also, in speaking about vocations, to be supportive of any young man who expresses that desire. There's a lot of confusion over what he should do and how he should handle these thoughts. And having the support of his family, friends, and community means a lot as he's trying to discern this call. The last thing is, if there are any young men out there, to not be afraid. I love being a priest. Being a priest is an incredible joy. I hope you're able to see the joy in which us priests have in living out our vocation. Like I said, you guys have two great priests here, and hopefully you're able to see their joy as well. To not be afraid to answer the call to be a priest. I love being a priest, and if God is calling you to be a priest, then you yourself will experience great joy in that vocation. So don't be afraid to pray about vocations, to talk about it, or to answer the call if that is what you are determined to do. And it is through these things that that the sacraments can be more readily available to all of us. And in receiving the sacraments, we may grow in this relationship. We may have confidence that God is our Father who wants to have a relationship with us, that has given us these sacraments for us to grow. And through them, we may become holy and may achieve our eternal reward, which is heaven.